Hey, you are now listening to the Graceway Podcast. Let's talk.
Welcome, everybody, to Let's Talk. My name is Jeff Adams, and I'm here to invite you to listen as Pastor Tim and I talk. It's one of the things that we do best.
That's right.
Have a good time at it. And if you're looking at Pastor Tim today, that is not a liturgical robe that he has on. That is actually a pirate outfit. So if you did not see his message today at Graceway, you're probably saying, what in the world is he doing wearing a pirate outfit? And I can tell you, this was our first ever Super Sweet Sunday. And Pastor Tim, I got to tell you, I had no idea what to expect when I arrived this morning. Right. And I'd not been around here, been out of town. I know you and your staff have been obviously incredibly busy, sure, probably pushing it to the red line. But we walked into an overcharged sugar-induced coma, yeah, collectively, mm-hmm, and walked into the service this morning. And not only is the praise team on the platform dressed in costumes,
right, correct,
led by Santa Claus. I mean, any time that you can mix Santa Claus with Halloween, yeah, in a church service, yeah, you're bound to get rid of anybody that's a little tight.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we had all these little kids up there just jumping up and down and having the best time they've ever had in church. Would you unpack for us a little bit about what is going on inside you? What would, could possibly possess you to have a super sweet Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this all about?
Yeah, a lot of things, honestly. I mean, I think the first and maybe the most obvious, and I tried to prep people around this, was we're obviously not celebrating Halloween or any of the things that go with that. But there is some merit to the reclamation of some of those kind of conversations, especially with so many people still kind of on the fence of coming back into a congregational setting. You know, I think our hope, our prayer, and what we learned today was, you know, kids insistent to go to church will bring parents out as well.
I heard you mention that in the hallway. I thought that's brilliant.
Yeah. So I think just the acknowledgement that our culture is going to do some version of this, and let's figure out a way to invite people into a setting where, one, the kids can see mom and dad worship, mm-hmm, ideally. Two, people who have been away from congregation can be compelled to come back in. Three, I have a chance to talk directly to kids. That's a pretty, you know, unique.
That's rare in a church this size.
Yeah, it's rare.
Because we're so compartmentalized.
Yeah.
Kids go here, young people go there.
Yeah, and I think that's appropriate as a general rhythm.
Sure.
But I think I wanted to take the opportunity. And I did. You know, I talked 85% directly to the kids. And then I think there's some kind of bigger macro stuff around family worship, around the kids being, and I said in the second service, you know, part of the reason, if I'm being completely honest, that I want the kids to get acclimated to this stage is my hope. You know, you're number three in our story. I'm number four, senior pastor. My hope is that number five, when God's done with me here, comes from our room. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously the recipient of a search, even though I was a part of this family a long time,
yes,
ago.
That's the thing I think a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, yeah, that I was, you know, this was, I'm certainly the family tree. We were on the same branch historically.
Absolutely.
But a search firm found me.
Right.
And I said today, you know, one of these kids dancing up on our stage might be the next lead pastor. And so let's get him, yeah, comfortable on the stage. And so, you know, I think a lot of times when these things happen, we kind of cynically jump to, oh, we're being, you know, there's all kinds of words, seeker sensitive, blah, 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 you know. But I think what we would want to be is seeker conscientious.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I was listening to you a moment ago, it reminded me, you said we need to reclaim this.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that, you know, one of our most special occasions as believers is Christmas, when,
yeah,
we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I think we all realize Jesus was probably not born on December the 25th.
Probably.
It was a,
like,
pagan holiday.
For sure, definitely not.
That the,
yeah,
church reclaimed that.
Yeah.
They took a pagan holiday and converted it into a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus whenever that occurred.
Yeah, and this, we could get really down a rabbit hole in this, but in terms of ministry philosophy, this is a big thing for me. And this might get us into a ditch here, but you know, when you're talking about some of the things that are happening in our country around race, some of the vernacular politically, and those, I've taken fairly, it's all good, taken some criticism for the use of vernacular that people think is another team's. Yeah. Right, especially around race things. And I always say when people come and talk to me, it's not their word. It's not their word, and they're actually pillaging an idea of the church, and they are reclaiming it. And all I'm doing is trying to reclaim it back. And yeah. I think that a lot of leadership, especially that has a high communication piece, is the insistence on the reclamation of or the redefining of certain words, certain holidays, certain events. And the aim for the sake of the gospel, for the blessing of the church, for the glory of God, all those very orthodox historical things. But I think sometimes we're trying it. We're testing it. And yeah. Today was one of those days that the intent would have been as thoroughly conservatively evangelical, historically orthodox, all of those. But yeah, we tried some things creatively around a controversial idea. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to try to do that. I think that's good missiology. And,
word you just used sticks out to me, and you used it this morning. I was in the early service and you talked about creativity.
Yeah.
And you said, look at all the creativity in this room.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody that walked into the lobby of the church this morning, they saw some pretty amazing and impressive costumes.
That's right.
And everybody just having a great time doing it. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about this whole thing of creativity. And you mentioned something else a little bit earlier. You mentioned tradition.
Yeah.
And it's almost like some people see that as opposing forces.
Sure.
Does it have to be?
Well, let me add one piece too. I think... you know, I recently had a conversation with somebody where they kind of criticized me for saying something effective church can and maybe should be fun. So let me just ground the enjoyment in, you know, God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's interesting that in our tradition, when we're having a good time in church, there's something in us that goes, is this okay? Am I supposed to be doing this? So just enjoyment for enjoyment's sake, it can be a sacred thing. Toward the creativity thing, you know, creativity and tradition, you and I both, this is another, we both share a love for art and creativity, and I've been in Paris together, kind of the epicenter of the art world. And I think that people need to remember that creativity used to be our tradition.
Yes.
In the church.
Musicians and artists and sculptors. And
And so, you know, to pair in the same sentence, creativity and tradition, now enough artists have left the church because we, if I could say, have kind of fumbled the sacredness of that, that we've really outsourced it. Now to get good art, you don't go to the church. You go to a pretty pagan space.
Yeah.
And I would love, again, toward reclamation, you know, beauty, art, you know, the best paintings, the best statues, the best music. Man, that was the church's thing for hundreds of years.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a shame that now, you know, there's a moniker that goes with Christian music, Christian movies, Christian art. And the idea is fundamentally, it's not very good.
And, exactly. And that bothers me. I know it bothers you, but why can't we enjoy art for art's sake?
Yeah, right.
Why do we have to say there's Christian art and then there's secular art?
Right.
Is there Christian mathematics and secular mathematics?
Right.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, guys like C.S. Lewis and Francis Schaeffer, you know, for art to be Christian, it has to be good. Is the idea. And you know, so
but it doesn't necessarily have to have a dove in the picture.
No.
Or a cross.
No, but it does have to be good.
It does have to be first class.
If we serve the best God, shouldn't our expressions and depictions at least be quality, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think that sometimes churches need to practice. We need to practice creativity in a day like today, especially with a generation that their experience outside the church is those creative expressions, to invite some of that in and say, just go wear whatever you want to wear. I look ridiculous, right? But what is the point? The point that I'm trying to make is I'm willing I'm willing to do this. I just want you to do whatever whatever creative thing you want to do. And let's enjoy it together. And I loved talking to kids today, even some adults, but a lot of the kids who had a very clear articulation of what they were wearing and why they were wearing it and what it meant and the show they watched or the book they read. I mean, that's a really beautiful thing.
You know, the thought that was going through my mind as I stood there and was caught up in all of the energy in the room today and candy flying all across the place, I thought, kids are going to be affected by Halloween, whether their parents want them to be or not.
Right.
And so we can either stoke the fear.
Yeah.
Or we can do what I think you did this morning. I think you kicked the devil out of Halloween.
That was our hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, in my opinion, error that I would see the church making is going overboard on that, right?
So yeah.
I don't have to put a religious word in it to, as you say, kick the devil out. I think sometimes in the name of kicking the devil out, we get corny.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we tried hard to not do that.
Yes.
Just
having fun.
Yeah, just have fun. And it takes a lot of intentionality to not hop to, hallelujah, holiday, or, whatever.
All the corniness.
And I don't think that's any more compelling artistically or otherwise to this or any generation. Corniness isn't compelling. And so, the truth is, it was an experiment. It's our first one. Will we do it again? Yeah. Will we do it better? Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's an interesting space, and I think me. I am not going to let words, concepts, ideas, holidays, traditions be stolen, be redefined by the world. And if anything, I want to keep the ground that is ours and take back ground that I would say used to be ours.
Yeah.
That we have kind of given up for a lot of reasons, and we'll see what happens.
You know, back to the art discussion, you and I have stood before the Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris. Nobody has to explain that.
That's right.
There's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of things that we don't know. Who was she? What was she thinking? All this type of stuff that, books have been written about that.
Yeah.
But when you walk into the presence of the Mona Lisa, you're like, that's art.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And what you said about not being cheesy, that was the feel I got this morning. You walk into church, you didn't have to explain anything. What you did, and I thought this was brilliant, as you started this morning, you said, hey, we're not here to celebrate Halloween. We're celebrating Jesus together in a family environment.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain this, that, or the other.
Yeah, and I tried to say, and we're celebrating the potential plans and purposes that God has for your kids today. So we're just going to let them be kids.
Yeah.
And we're going to hopefully speak some of God's word over them, let them be in an environment that, we're going to have fun, but we're also going to worship some. But just let them be kids, not here's your thing to keep you quiet kind of deal. No, come up on the stage. Let's sing your songs.
We came in this morning and they're setting up the mics and the chairs and the cameras and all this type of stuff. And we're just kind of doing our thing, what are we going to be talking about? And you mentioned a connection. I want you to elaborate on this between what you were attempting to do today that I thought was brilliant and discipleship.
Yeah, yeah.
Make that connection for everybody listening to us.
Well, you and I, and we probably do need to do a part two from last week.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. I was in Mexico.
No.
Slow bandwidth.
Well, no, I just think there's more.
There's more to talk about. Yeah.
You and I are both very insistent that the church, rightly represented, everything that we do should have a discipleship element and center to it. And today for me, when I think it, take the Halloween-y stuff out of it. If I just said, hey, we're going to have environments that we worship as families together, we're going to have environments that our kids are put in a position to see their parents worship, to hear God's word from, give me an opportunity to pastor them specifically. Everyone would go, oh, yeah, that's great. All we did was add some cultural fun things on top of that. And so for me, vision-wise, and I said it in the second service, I don't know if I said this to you privately or on this, so forgive me if it's redundant, but, you know, one of my hopes, my prayers, I came from the outside, so to speak, was found with a search, even though I had been in this church many times as a teenager, was a part of the family tree. My hope is that one of the God saves the next lead pastor through our kids ministry here, number five, long into the future when God's done here, right?
You're not resigning.
So, you know, things like today that kind of invite kids and give them a vision for are important toward the long-term multi-generational elements of our church. And I think at the core, hopefully what we did today was fundamentally discipleship hearted toward the sake of our kids. But I think anytime we invite our kids in a thing, family discipleship is occurring. Conversations that are happening in the car on the way home. Let's do that again. All those kind of things. If a parent will grab some of the ingredients that we tried to put out there, lots of really good conversations can be had.
You pretty much lobbed a softball over home plate,
right,
it's up to the parents take that and get a home run.
Absolutely.
You know, you made a statement that I've made, and you know, certainly not unique to either you or me, that that our kids and our youth are not the church of the future, they're the church of today.
And
I heard you say that again this morning, and I think it'd be good for you to what does that mean to you? What does it look like when you say the kids are the church of today? What does that look like?
Well, I think baked into the next generation, I don't mean that there's any malice in this, but it's kind of like, let's have them go do their thing until they become relevant to the business of the church, you know, whatever that means. And I think, you know, one of the great privileges and weights of the seat that you are in, the seat that I am in, is that I'm going to answer to God for every age of eternal soul who is in this building, not just the ones who happen to be, you know, legally able to buy tobacco and alcohol.
Right.
And so I want to and do have a vision for our kids, my kids, our kids, the Dunn's kids, now, that in my heart, the things we're investing into them now will bear fruit as they grow up in this church, hopefully. But I think if you say, you know, you're the next generation, what you're conveying to them is, we'll let you know when we need you, versus God has a plan for you right now. And the wisdom to say, the investments that we make into the younger generation in this present generation will benefit and bless not only the kingdom, but this church for years to come. And so we do kids ministry for that reason. We do youth ministry of young adults.
You, your text this morning was from 1 Timothy 4, verse 12.
Yeah.
Let no man despise your youth, be an example.
Yeah.
And what I was hearing you do is you were having fun with the little kids.
Yeah.
And letting them know that church is a place where that's okay.
Yeah, right.
But then you actually directed your words this morning in a razor sharp way to youth.
Yeah.
And you made a dichotomy that I thought was so powerful. Let no one despise your youth.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, recognize that you need direction in your life. Work that for us.
Well, I mean, I'm really a product of, you know, my parents split up when I was 13 years old. I thought that I was a Christian then, but I wasn't. Didn't become one until I was 16 years old. But I vividly remember sitting at a kitchen table with my mom and her saying, we need to pray that God brings some godly men into your life. And I didn't really know what that meant at the time. Like, okay, yeah, let's pray that. Yeah. I don't know why, but I knew that my relationship with my dad had been negatively affected and that I probably needed some version of someone to step into that. Now, it's part of the reason that I love the church is that the church provided me an amalgamation of different perspectives, men and women, like that, and made an investment into me that way. One of the biggest gifts of the church to that teenage Tim Dunn was investment, care, love, prayers, discipleship. And I don't mean just the curriculum.
Right.
And so I had two individuals. One was kind of the teaching pastor and the other was a businessman who I considered both of them father figures in my life. One of them is with Jesus now. Frank Pardue was his name. The other one was a guy by the name of Dick Bradley. And one of the things that both of them invested into me independently was this love for the book of Proverbs. And I said today, you know, both of them would have discipled me to read the book of Proverbs every single day. Mm-hmm. And I have for almost three decades now. Mm-hmm. It really was one of those spaces where, you know, I had an opportunity to talk to that young man, had an opportunity to encourage him to lean humbly and courageously into older community, and tried to pull apart. I mean, one of the biggest fears that I have right now for my boys, for my girl and my boys, is how much authority they're giving to their peers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, industrialization delivered to us this youth culture in which we kind of tell the kids, you know, you go do your thing. And what has happened is we got all these words for it, but we have kids discipling kids. And dad goes to work, mom does, you know, like we pulled the family apart at the seams. And now the authority that kids have with other kids at the expense of, you know, up into the industrial age, boy went with dad to work. Dad's coworkers discipled, and you know, we had a lot of mile markers for manhood and womanhood that we're losing. And I'm trying to push the older generation younger and the younger generation to look older. And I had a kid come up to me afterward, you know, 14-year-old, my boy's 14, and he just said, I feel like some of the stuff that God is telling me is just, it's like impossible for me. And he goes, I don't know how to think about it. I mean, what should I do? And I said, well, number one, what God's showing you isn't for tomorrow, right? It's probably for years down the road. And so you need to make sure you have good friends. You love God, love his word, have good friends, and have people in your life. And our youth pastor, Pastor Brandon, was standing there, and I grabbed him. And I said, people in your life who love you and love Jesus and will be honest with you. And then you need to be breathtakingly transparent with them. And I remember doing that. Like, should I date this girl? Should I buy this motorcycle? Should I apply for this job? And I just think about God's grace and protection in my life that way. And I desperately want that for this generation. And I'm deeply concerned about some of the age divides, all the divides, but one of them being the age divides that I see in the church.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that statement about we're seeing kids disciple kids today.
Yeah.
And you know, that's going to happen anyway.
Sure.
But it seems like social media has put that on steroids.
Absolutely.
And then the absenteeism of mom and dad and those older figures in the church. You know, talk about your home church.
Yeah.
And I'm familiar with that. I was a guest speaker there on many occasions.
Yeah.
It was a good church.
Yes.
Not a perfect church.
No.
This church is not a perfect church.
Of course not.
But even in your family, everybody's got the crazy uncle that comes over and gets drunk on Thanksgiving. You know, but that's all part of growth as well.
It is.
And finding those older figures. You know, my wife and I share a passion now that we're advanced in years, I guess we could say, of we don't really like to hang out with old people.
Yeah.
We would prefer to invest whatever we have in people that are younger.
Yeah.
And it's a passion that we share. And I that's what I'm hearing your heart say.
Well, I think this is another thing that you do that you're not saying, but it's really, again, you know, kind of the magic sauce for you is that not only are you investing down, but you're allowing yourself to be invested in by the younger generation.
Yeah.
And
that's a great way to put it. I'll own up to that.
Yeah. And I mean, I've watched you do that for as long, you know, the time that I've been here, that you're interested in growth, not the age of the person providing you with perspective. And I think that's really, the church can be a really potent and beautiful thing if we'll stop segmenting off, if we'll stop letting the cultures, caricatures of old people, of young people define and direct us, and rather say things like, this generation isn't next generation, it's this generation. If I'm older, I have stewardship. I have responsibility in this. And as young people to say, you know, even though I have more information than I could ever process in my life, there's also, you know, the Proverbs calls it a simple Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do these things and have the wisdom.
And don't know what I don't know.
I don't know what I don't know. And have the wisdom to be self-aware enough to say, I don't know what I don't know. But I'm gonna be intentional about observing and about learning and having people in my life who are available for me to learn from.
Yeah.
And God, again, I'm a recipient of that, you know. And they chose me and I chose them and God chose us, you know, however he works that. But that, for me, that is the purest definition of church, right? That you chose me and I choose you and God chooses us, and whatever happens between us and the sovereignty of God, that's church.
That's church. And I would also add, hearing you talk earlier, that's the very definition of discipleship.
1,000,000%.
And if it is the heart of what we do, then it has to be organic. It has to be real.
Yeah.
It has to be, I love your phrase, breathtakingly transparent.
Yeah.
And it's just dealing with life and all of its warts and all of its wonders all at the same time.
Yeah. And I think that we've talked about this. Our relationship is odd. Positively odd, but you're not supposed to continue to be an advocate for me, to be involved in my life. Like, I'm your replacement,
right?
You know,
so get out of here,
right?
Yeah,
and I'm supposed to feel that way about you, and you're supposed to think this new guy's gonna, but you haven't. You relationally choose me, and I relationally choose you, and we are both grateful for God relationally giving us this space of friendship and mutual investment, and that's been a huge gift. And anybody who would tell me that's not discipleship is going to get a pretty
or
ferocious
the church.
Debate. Or
and
the
that's
church.
The thing. This is that's still right. my church.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
And so we're all part of the same family,
yes,
part
exactly
of the same
right.
team.
That's exactly right.
Well, Pastor Tim, this has been an interesting Sunday.
Yeah.
and a good one. I just congratulate you again for the courage to be creative.
Sure.
And we'll do this again. I'm looking forward to it. I think we could go on and on. And so those of you that are listening to us talk today, if you haven't seen the service this morning, and sometimes people go to the YouTube or to the website and they listen only to the teaching, make sure you pick up the whole package today. All right. I think you'll learn something and I think you'll be blessed. So we will be here same time next week.
Thanks for tuning into the Graceway Experience. Hope we can talk again sometime.